Today, and turn over your word to a scripture that's very familiar. You've heard me quote it many times. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And then also you can flip your Bibles over there to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. These scriptures are some of the most popular scriptures in the New Testament. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Philippians 4 and 13. I want to speak today on a subject, a question I want to ask you today. How big do you think? Last week I spoke on the subject of as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Today, I want to speak on this subject, how big do you think? Reading from verse 20 in Ephesians 3, and also verse 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Everybody say, think. According to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now let me read Philippians 4 and 13 to you. I, first person pronoun there, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Would you repeat that with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, Paul is the writer of both these texts. He has had a life which one could explain as faithful, tragic, incredible, exciting, fruitful, and certainly not ever boring. He served the Lord with deep convictions and poured those convictions into those he spoke the gospel to. He certainly never held back on his belief that God could do anything at any time. And I believe that we should think that way. God can do anything at any time. God can change your circumstance. If you're going through something right now that you would love for God to change that, he can do that. He doesn't have to check with a board or a committee. He doesn't ask someone if there's enough supply. If he makes this decision, can it fit in the budget? He simply can do anything at any time, anywhere for you. He really can. Now, you got to believe this. You can't just kind of think, well, yeah, that's kind of cool. You got to believe it. There's got to be conviction, a true depth of faith. In other words, what I hope to do through the help of the Holy Spirit in this message today is that, well, you will begin to think bigger thoughts, have bigger dreams, not to be satisfied with this little, but to ask God for the great. Amen. God loves to bless his children. God was God no matter what anyone else stated or believed. See, even if you're here today and you don't believe that God is God, guess what? He's still God. Amen. I preach to people all the time, believe it or not, I do, that don't believe in God at all. They don't believe in God. They don't think God exists. This is what I tell them. Even if you don't believe in God, He still believes in you. Amen. You see, God doesn't give up on His creation so readily as human beings give up on something that doesn't work or doesn't seem to be going the way they want it to go. But God never gives up on His creation. God is always there. One could say that Paul lived a life that was very close to God. If you study out his life and read him in the New Testament, he stayed really close to the Lord. And he knew God's love personally, and he trusted God explicitly. You know, when he was on his way to Rome, everybody else was thinking, why would you want to go to Rome when you've already been free? You don't need to go. You're a Roman citizen now. And what we did to you was wrong. We ask you to just drop the case right now. Just go on and start taking the word anywhere you want to go. That's what they were really saying to him. He said, no, I want to plead my case in Rome. He knew that God would be with him. He knew explicitly what God would want him to do. You see, Paul thought in large matters. He thought beyond the little problem. He saw the big resolve. He was there with it at all times, and he understood. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament and was quite familiar with God's grace and His everlasting mercy. 13 of the books he wrote. He went through stuff to be able to write those books. He wrote about his testimony. He went through these things. Faith was paramount in his statements each and every day. He simply believed that God was able to keep him through all circumstances. And I just wish today that people across this nation, throughout this world, that claim that they know God would believe him in all their circumstances, not just in the ones that they feel really matter. Let me just say to you that, you know, when you sleep at night, God is watching. If you don't believe that, Psalm 121. He's watching. He's there. He never gives up on you. He's there when you wake up. He's got your day set. Before you were born, He knew your destiny. Before you were actually birthed from your mother's womb, He knew your destiny. He knew the first words you would speak, and He knew the trials you would go through. He knew the sins that you would commit, and He knew that you could be forgiven. God knows you. He knows you so well that if you could ask God about yourself, you'd find out some things you didn't know yet. Because He knows what your tomorrow looks like before you get there. And simply, He states to our heart, have faith in God. Think big thoughts. Trust God in everything. Believe God in every circumstance and situation. Don't let your circumstances live above you. You need to live above your circumstances. Don't let your situations or mistakes cripple you for life. Everybody has made mistakes, but God forgives. Amen. God blesses. As a matter of fact, I want to say this to you. God knew you were going to make the mistake before you made it. But He also knew that if you would go to Him and ask for forgiveness, that He would forgive you.
Amen.
God knew the day you were going to sin before you sinned. And He knew if you would just go to Him and ask for forgiveness, that His mercy endureth forever. That He would bless you and keep you in all areas of your life. Don't let the enemy of your soul come into your life and begin to convict you and lay guilt on you to where you don't have any way or any thought or how you just don't have a way to get back to God. That's what the enemy wants to do. But let me tell you, God is always there. Now, some people don't want to believe this next statement, and that's okay. But while you were sinning, God was there. The Bible says that if you made your bed in Hades, His presence would be felt there. God knows what's going on in your life. As a matter of fact, 24 hours, well, just for time's sake, I'm saying that. But if I wanted to say it in spiritual terms, for a whole eternity, God knew the moment you were going to do that. Isn't it amazing that he saved you before you did that? I get the biggest kick out of people that say they're not pure enough to do anything for God. Yet God's called them. They've asked for forgiveness and they've been saved. But no, they're not good enough yet. They haven't reached man's level of acceptance. Let me tell you something. God's level of acceptance is someone on their knees at the cross at Calvary. That's God's level of acceptance. And God cares for you and I. And he loves us so much. I love what it says in Philippians 1 and 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God has begun something in you, and He's not going to give up on you. He's going to work through you, and He's going to perform through you, and He's going to bless you, and He's going to carry you through deep waters. He's going to take you over the high mountains. He's going to take you through the deepest, darkest valley. And He's going to bless you in the desert. He'll make the deserts bloom just for you. He'll bring water where it is dry and arid. He'll bring water that you may have a drink. 2 Timothy 1 and 12 simply says, "For this reason I also suffer these things." What things? "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." Ashamed of what? "For I know whom I have believed." Amen. He doesn't say there, and I'm breaking this scripture up. I've added a few words here and there. Let me start over so you'll know exactly what the scripture says. Then I'm going to go back through it again. "For this reason I also suffer these things." I added what things? "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." I added ashamed of what? "For I know whom I have believed." And I'm going to add right there, how well do you know Him? Right. Ask yourself, look in the mirror of your life, and how often have you pulled back from what God has called you to do, but you pulled back because maybe men got in the way. Maybe criticism got in the way. Maybe a glance shattered your thought of moving forward. Maybe someone tore you down. Maybe you got a phone call. Maybe you heard a word spoken by a gossip or a criticizer or someone sowing seeds amongst the brethren, and you pulled back. I say to you, how well do you know God? God has got you in the palm of His hand. And the Bible says that no man, someone say it with me, no man can pluck you out of God's hand. No man. I don't care how rich or what his name is. I don't care if he's the head of a church throughout the world. I don't care if he sits on a throne, or if he owns a corporation. I don't care who he is. No man can pluck you out of God's hand. You are ultimately covered and protected. Psalm 91 and 1. Under the shadow of his wings. You dwell there. You live there. When you're looking down, he's the lifter of your head. When things start coming at you that you cannot control, they come at you like an onslaught or a flood bursting out of a floodgate, He is a shield about you. Amen. He establishes your steps on a rock that only He could have prepared, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He put a new song in your heart that you may sing it and others would see and know Him and fear Him. He'll give you wings like an eagle that you will mount up and soar above the clouds and above the storm. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. He will bless you. He'll let no evil befall you and no plague will come near your dwelling. That voice that you hear in your heart when you pray is the Holy Ghost giving you confidence that God is listening. Are you with me?
Yes.
For I know whom I believed. And I am persuaded. I want to ask you how persuaded you are. I believe people go to church, they're not really persuaded. They speak it, but they're not persuaded. Being we're in the baseball season, let's just say it like this. Guy feels good about his ability to play baseball till he gets up to the plate. Then he's not too persuaded that he can hit the ball. Strike one, strike two, strike three. The coach asks him, why didn't you swing the bat? He says, I wasn't sure I could hit it. I wonder sometimes how persuaded we are when we get up to the plate of life and the enemy starts throwing things at us and throwing things at us and throwing things at us, and we can just bat them away from us by the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, demons will flee. We just have to understand that we've got to be persuaded in our relationship with Him. I know who I believe in. I am persuaded that God is who He says He is. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the Almighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Wonderful. He's the Counselor. He's the Christ. He's the Master. He's the Savior. He's everlasting. He's God. He's my Lord. And there is no other God above Him. He is the one true God. I'm persuaded that He is able. He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. Friend, when you give your heart to God, you commit yourself to God, He's able.
Amen.
To keep it until the day. What day? The day of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Some people say that that's not the day they're speaking of there. They're speaking of the day where the kingdom of God comes and surrounds the kingdom of heaven and absorbs it and everything becomes the kingdom of God. My friend, both days sound good to me.
Right.
But God is able to keep. He's able to keep you. Don't let your situations press you down, your circumstances to be so above you and that you're pressing down. Don't let past mistakes, past sins, past frustrations, past failures, past futilities, whatever it may be, don't let your past design your future. God has got your future right there before you. He is our God, almighty forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Praise His mighty name. His commitment to the Lord clearly was the reason that He was able to continue and think of great things that God will do through faith. You know, God doesn't really do a lot if there's no faith, unless you just don't have any faith. You know, I think God can handle this.
What?
I know God can handle this. I know God can heal you. I know God can save you. I know God can fill you with His Holy Spirit. I know God can baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. I know God can open a deaf ear. I know God can take a tongue that's welded to the cleft of the mouth and unweld it, and they can praise Him. I know blinded eyes will see. I know that God can roll out a hand that's wilted until it's straight and workable. I know God can take feet that cannot walk and mend them, and they shall walk and run like deer as they pant after the Lord in their heart. I know God can call people to preach that no one else would think they would ever be the one. I know God can raise up leaders where the wise think that that one could never be a leader, and God raises them up. Read the Word. I can go through all this today, but I want to be able to be sensitive to time. But let me tell you, all the way through the Word, there was a little shepherd boy that no one, no one thought he was the one. Samuel said to Jesse, "That's the one." A little lad coming in, ruddy, 13 years old. They anointed him with oil to be the king of Israel. Praise God. Isn't that Jesus? The son of Joseph the carpenter? Well, yes, it was, but it wasn't his son. Jesus was God. He was the only begotten Son of God. Joseph just had the honor of being the stepdad. I'm going to shout in a minute.
Hallelujah.
I can go on and on and on. There are people in the Word that Jesus called, 12 of them to be exact, that were just common folks. They weren't educated. They didn't have a master's degree or a doctorate. They were simple folk that Jesus walked by and said, "Follow me." I don't know if you belong to the simple folk club, but I do. God took a young man that just was birthed out of sin, heinous lifestyle, which I don't want to read that record right now, but let me tell you something. God called me to preach. Can you tell?
Amen.
He didn't call me to yell. He called me to preach. Yelling is what you do at a baseball game. Yelling is what you do when you're trying to get someone's attention who's about to step in front of a car going 100 miles an hour. But preaching is what you see here. An anointed man of God coming to tell you that God is able.
Yeah.
He's able.
Yeah.
I often think of two people in the Bible. Often I do think of these two. Joseph and David. In these times of persistent attacks and ridicule in the days that we live in. Persistent attacks. Ridicule. If you haven't read the news, you can see how Christianity is being attacked viciously throughout the world. People are being martyred every day because they believe God is able. The ridicule that we go on. Just somebody the other night put something on Facebook. Just a statement, a true statement, a statement from the Word of what men and women or man and wife should be like. This is what God intended them to be like. And they had a graphic there, and it's just a man and a woman that holding hands. couldn't figure out what he did that for. You know, in this simple mind, I said, well, I wonder why this guy put that up there. I was thinking maybe if I stared at it long enough, something was going to go wrong or a video was going to show up and, you know, there was going to be something. You know, I mean, I'm just that simple guy, okay? So I thought, I'm going to figure this out. I'll read a couple comments, then that'll explain. See, that's the FB cheat sheet. You read the comments, then you know where they're coming from. So when I opened up the comments, there was everybody that didn't believe that man and women should be like this. Criticizing. One person put down that this is what they think it should be, and 314 comments followed. I'm not going to go through all the comments. I'm just trying to tell you, ridicule for what we believe. Let me tell you that Paul, living in the days, was interwoven with such disorder and false teachings. One would expect that Paul would just give up and be satisfied with just being saved and having a job. He was a tent maker. He was saved. He wrote about all these things that I just discussed and all the things that I'm preaching about today in 13 books in the New Testament. He never gave up. He was left for dead. He was friendless. He went plenty of times swimming in the ocean, not by his own order. He was bit by a viper and he shook it off. It saved the whole island of Malta because they saw the viper bite him and they thought this is it for Paul. They were counting down the seconds. He just kept on going. They said, this man must be somebody. You see, if you believe, yes, this person must be somebody. When God intervenes and delivers you from something, you know, they say, this person must be somebody. But you got to have the faith to believe that he is able. Yes. Yes. But no, Paul was a dreamer. And he had deep convictions on just what the Lord wanted him to do on this earth. He was a dreamer. I'm going to ask you a question. How deep are your convictions? And do you dream big? If your convictions aren't deep today, use the word as a shovel. It'll dig them deep if you read it. If your dreams aren't big today, read the word and you're going to see some folks that dreamed big and God moved in their life. It's all right to dream big and it certainly is justified and perfectly normal to believe God for great things. I don't believe I can believe God for such a big thing. Yes, you can. He's a big God. He loves you so much. He's God who cares and will do anything he can and will do for you. Why are you worried about things? God is out there creating galaxies in the universe. That's right. Why you're worrying about all these things? God's out there doing big things. You know, the universe keeps growing. If you didn't know that, I have a little education lesson today. Astronomy lesson, it keeps growing. Telescopes that they put up there, the Hubble telescope and everything, it's growing. You see, why we're down here worrying about the little thing, God's out there creating galaxies. Speaking galaxies into existence, and we don't think he can help us. We don't think he can take care of a little problem financially. We don't think he can take care of a little sickness that he calls healed. We call cancer. We call AIDS. He calls healed. Oh, man, I tell you, I just sense him so deeply in my spirit right now. You see, he does things immeasurably and dynamically because he is God. Immeasurably, he does things. I'm not asking you to think about your problem right now. But if one goes by your mind when I'm preaching, God is immeasurably able. He's so dynamic, he'll do it. He can dispatch one angel to fight 21 days to get to answer one prayer that Daniel prayed. Even though the prince of the air fought him. 21 days. One angel broke through and gave the answer that Daniel needed to hear. Don't ever give up bending your knee. Speaking to the heavens in the name of Jesus. The heavens over you are not brass. They're open. The heavens over you are wide open and waiting for your praise and your prayers and the power of your anointing to break into the throne room of grace to request of God. He is listening. He is able.
Glory.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you. Isaiah 55:8-11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, says the Lord. Let me read that again. I want to get this so you hear it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord.
Yes.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. And my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. When God speaks into your life, you may not understand it, but it's not going to go back to Him void. It's going to prosper you. It's going to heal you. It's going to design you. It's going to place you. It's going to mature you. It's going to bring destiny into your life that no man can ever give.
Amen.
He is able. What God does is awesome, and He wants you to be part of His plan. So many people have asked the question, does God really want me to be part of His plan? Does God have a plan for my life? Yes, He does. Let's look at Joseph for a moment, if you follow with me. His story reads from Genesis 37 to Genesis 50. And it's detailed around his dream of greatness and its fulfillment. He dreamed a great dream. His father didn't like it, and his brothers, first of all, didn't like it. He dreamed a dream that looked like everybody was going to bow to him. His brother said, who does he think he is? His father says, what are you doing? And they take him out because he dreamed. Now listen, just because you dream, don't think everything's going to go smooth. You may dream for a new car and someone gives you one that doesn't have any tires, no brakes, and it's only running on two cylinders, and it's an eight-cylinder engine. When you turn it on, the neighbors know you turn it on because their whole house fills up with smoke. But that's not the car God's going to give you in the future. He just wants to test your faith. You see, he had to go through things that would probably stop a lot of people from dreaming a great dream today, because their level of endurance isn't like it was then. is people have kind of laid back and got into the digital relationship. Let me tell you something. Get beyond the digital relationship and get on your knees and get into a relationship with God.
Amen.
Speak to Him. I'm not going to go through everything, but I'm going to go through this very quick sermon that I actually preached yesterday to probably 600 hopeless eyes just staring at me. But I told them about Joseph, who had to go through rejection from his family. A lot of people staring at me yesterday have been through rejection from their family. I know people that are attending church today that have gone through rejection from their family. I know sons and daughters that don't even know what it is to have a real father and a mother. Can I get a witness? Literally. He had to go through rejection from his family, and it led him to a deep, inescapable pit. Because he dreamed his first stop off was a pit. What does the pit describe? Despair? Depression? And departure. He no longer had a family. They threw him in the pit. He was depressed because he was alone. He dreamed a dream. I'm sure that he probably thought to himself, I'm not giving up in the dream, but why did I share it with him? I've heard some preachers say this, don't share your dreams with people. I say it this way, share it, he is able. Share it. Let people know how big God is. Yeah. Oh, they'll look at you like, and they'll talk about you later. Yeah. Can you believe they think God's going to do that in their life? I mean, come on. Do they really think that God is going to help them? You know, because we live next door to them and they are. But God has another sign. It's, you're winners. We're winners in the kingdom of God. We win. Dream your dream. Let everybody know. If they don't understand it, don't worry about it. God does. And you have faith to believe. Despair. He was in despair. His brothers tricked him and threw him into a pit. Then he had to be accused when he got out of the pit and sold into slavery. Sold into slavery because he dreamed. Emotionally confused. But he kept his dream going. And then they bring him to a household that he was living in. And Potiphar's wife thought he was cute. So when everybody was out of the house, she tried to seduce him. And his integrity, because he dreamed a dream. He never forgot what God showed him. Wait a minute, are you with me now? I just hit on something. The Holy Spirit said, you just hit on something. Stay there for a minute. Thank you, Holy Ghost. If there's any minutes added to this sermon, it's because of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes your integrity is challenged. And sometimes somebody's trying to seduce you. Into sin. So they can be satisfied. They don't care about you. Tempt you to fall away from the promise of the ever-living God. the dream that he gave you, to pull back, to have a mark against you. Joseph didn't have a mark against him. He had a dream. Wasn't his fault that God made him handsome. Wasn't his fault that he had honesty and integrity. Wasn't his fault that a person was attracted to him. And it never was his fault that he got thrown to prison because he did not get seduced. He believed his dream, but he ended up in prison. We don't know how long. He stayed in prison. His whole journey started at 17. We know that he only stayed a few days in the pit till they sold him to slavery. But we don't know how long he served in Potiphar's house. We don't know how long he went to prison. It could have been from 2 to 13 years that he spent in prison because he dreamed a dream. You see, sometimes you get caught up in this old world that imprisons you because you dreamed a dream. You see, people will imprison you because they are jealous that you have a dream. Can I bring up a name? I have a dream. Do I need to say the name? Martin Luther King had a dream and they killed him. And today, that dream has come true. Yeah. Yeah. I just have to throw something. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He took a bullet that his culture would move. He said he went to the mountaintop and he saw the other side. Dream your dream. See the other side.
Yeah.
Pastor Joe Wright, the Assemblies of God, Modesto, California, 2,500 member Assemblies of God, and I was pastoring my first struggling church across the railroad tracks in Salida, California, behind the hardware store, next to an alley where they sold crank. And he came and visited me out of nowhere. I mean, I'm a young preacher, and Pastor Joe Wright drives across Modesto, across the railroad tracks, behind the hardware store, into a dirt parking lot. Said, "Hi, I want to take you out to lunch." I said, "Okay. Yeah, let's do this." We go to lunch. He talks about his church, talks about church growth, and I'm absorbing everything. I'm in the back of my mind thinking he drove across Modesto from his office in 2,500 member Assemblies of God every Sunday morning. 2,500 people came to hear him speak. Across the railroad tracks, past the post office, behind the car parts store, into a dirt parking lot. Comes into my office and said, "My name's Pastor Joe Wright." Introduces himself, said, "I've come to take you to lunch." I'm thinking, where did he come from? You see, I was dreaming a dream at that point. I was dreaming a dream of greatness, to build a great church and to do something great for God while I'm on this earth, dreaming a dream. And we were out there by his car and I said, "How did you get there, Pastor? Can I ask you, how did you get there?" He said, "I dreamed my dream." And he looked at me for a moment, and it seemed like an eternity that he stared at me. He said, "Pastor Adams, I want to tell you one thing. Don't ever stop dreaming, because as soon as you let someone wake you up, your dream becomes a nightmare." Dream your dream. When he was in prison, sent there
when it wasn't his fault. He found himself now in captivity. Found himself in confinement. Found himself in custody. He didn't have freedom anymore. He was in the darkness of a dungeon. And yet, immediately, God showed him favor, even in custody, confinement, and captivity. Today, you may be here thinking, I just feel so confined. I feel that I can't even spread my arms out in worship because I'm so confined. I feel like on the song this morning when it said, I'm free to run, that my legs wanted to run, but they got locked up because I feel in custody. I feel a captivity around me. I'm going to tell you today, shake off those shackles.
Hallelujah.
Shake off those heavy shackles. Shake off those thoughts. Shake off what people may say about you and what they think about you. And if their eyes are upon you, shake it off. And if need be, if spiritually not satisfied with taking a run spiritually, run anyhow. Hallelujah. He was shown favor. We don't know how long he was in prison, 2 to 13 years. Then, because he was a dreamer and God gave him the gift of interpreting dreams, he could be delivered from the prison and was brought into the palace where he now ruled. Now, I know this is a famous sermon, you know, from the pit to the prison to the palace. I'm not here to preach a famous sermon. I'm here to speak to your spirit, man. To dream bigger, larger, with great vastness to it. Because God is willing if you are willing. He is able if you believe. You can make a statement like Paul did. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who explodes inside of me. His power leads me and guards me and lifts me. He is able. I don't know why I'm going to say it again, because I've said it for the last 3 sermons, but this is the 3rd one I'm saying it in. Hold on. Somebody's got to hear this. Somebody, the Holy Ghost is trying to reach. Hold on. Hold on. Not hold fast. Hold on. He kept on believing what the Lord had given him in a dream. Kept on believing, no matter what his surroundings were. He kept believing. Despair, depression, departure, captivity, confinement, custody. In between despair, depression, and departure, he had a time where he was in a house and things were going well. He was enslaved, but things were right. God showed him favor there and everything. And then all of a sudden, somebody tried to seduce him. The wife of Potiphar tried to seduce him. And he beat it by dreaming. Let me place this dynamic truth in your heart today. Just because you may be going through the toughest, roughest part of your life today as I preach, it does not give you permission to give up on your great dream. Let me say it again, because I'm speaking to some people's heart right there. Let me
place this dynamic truth in your heart today. Just because you may be going through the toughest, roughest part of your life, it does not give you permission to give up on your great dream. In Joseph's story, we find that he saved a nation, but it took time and grit for him to continue till it came to pass. Time, grit, stamina, hold on. Hold on. Because that dream's still there that you have placed somewhere. I don't see it inside this pulpit. Where'd you put it? I don't see it there underneath these speakers. I don't see it parked underneath these candles at all. Where'd you put it? Where have you hidden it? It should be forefront in your life. It should be so strong in your life that you can't help. Every time people see you, they're going to say, oh, they're going to talk about their dream. Here they come. Are you ready? Dream your dream, no matter what, how tough, how rough, how stressed you may feel today. Hold on. Dream your dream. In Joseph's story, we find that he saved a nation. And that's what he did, because he kept on going. Let's look at one more person just for a moment as I close today. Is that all right with y'all? Let me just tell you this right now. There's one more person that I want to share with you, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, 1 and 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Listen to this next verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. When you're going through something, think about Jesus, in other words. There's no one, Joseph, David, no one has gone through what Jesus went through. When you're discouraged and when you're sitting down in your give up chair, instead of being down on your, I got confident knees, I know that God is going to bless no matter what voice, think about Jesus. When you're sitting in your give-up chair. Instead of praying, you'd rather flip the switch on the TV and watch some sitcom that's going to just hurt your soul. He, Jesus, pressed on. Paul stated this to the church in Philippi. Not that I have already attained or am I already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Forget the things in the past. Reach towards that dream. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let me just bring this last remark to you. Are you dreaming large dreams? Are you dreaming dreams that you firmly believe that God gave you?
Has this world seduced you? Has this world put you into a pit? Has this world got you imprisoned? Are you living in a palace somewhere that you just don't have any idea what's going on? You're just glad you're there, or do you have a dream? Can you say today that now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, he is able. Next time the enemy of your soul comes into your prayer closet, say it out loud. He is able. Amen. I was driving down Highway 9 yesterday, was attacked by the enemy. Attacked by him. You know what I did? I screamed. I'm not going to do it here because I'm scared of kids. I screamed at the top of my lungs. I called his name and I said, get out of my truck.
That's right.
In the name of Jesus. I said it twice. Get out of my truck in the name of Jesus. He left. The whole truck became free again. He said, oh, preacher, I don't believe that kind of stuff. I believe it because he is able.
Yeah.
Dream your dream. God loves a big parade. He loves to bless abundantly. He is with you in the valley and on the mountaintop. Dream your dream and do not let anyone wake you up, no matter how long it takes. Dream your dream.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.